We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it about time that we protect every human being in America, including the preborn? Go to personhoodflorida.com today to sign the Human Life Protection Amendment to establish liberty and justice for all. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
So last year, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in the Dobbs decision and overturned Roe versus Wade and turned this abortion back to the states. Unfortunately, though, they did not restore the rights of the preborn children. You see, preborn children should be have the same rights as you and I. In the Declaration of Independence, we read that all of our rights are given to us by God. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we really need to see the restoration of rights to the preborn children. And prior to the overturn of Roe, we were working in the state through Personhood Florida to work toward the day when we would be able to protect every innocent human life without exception. And we actually had a proposed constitutional amendment. And one of the things that we saw with that effort is that there were groups that claimed to be pro-life that did not support us. And one of the main reasons that they didn't support us, in fact, the one reason that they gave over and over again, is we don't believe that we can win at the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, now we have won at the U.S. Supreme Court, yet those groups are still not working to protect every innocent human life without exception. They're not supporting pro-life amendments to the Constitution. Why not? Because they don't believe we can win. And they're afraid of failure. One pro-life representative actually at a pro-life leadership meeting actually said not only that he wanted to see polling numbers that showed that we would win before he would support such an amendment. He also said he wanted to see an organization that had millions of dollars in the bank to fund the advertising needed to push such an amendment. So we are going to look, and we have previously looked at what the Bible has to say about what God says we should do in relation to human life, when human life is at risk. How should human beings, really, because God doesn't have a different standard for Christians and non-Christians. Certainly, he holds Christians to a higher standard than non-Christians. But God holds all of mankind accountable to defend innocent human life. And we should be working to defend and protect innocent human life. And we're going to revisit these scriptures today and see whether these commands to protect innocent human life are based on likelihood of success. Does God say rescue those unjustly sentenced to death if the polling numbers show that you might win at the ballot box? Does it say rescue those unjustly sentenced to death if you have an organization that has millions of dollars in the bank? Does God say wait until victory is almost certain before you start to work to protect innocent human life? We're going to look at these scriptures again, and I think, you know, it's obviously pretty obvious. God's word and his standards are not conditional upon success. In fact, many times in scripture, you'll actually see God telling people to do things that they won't succeed at. And in fact, even the prophet Isaiah was told to prophesy until the people's hearts would become hardened so that God could bring his judgment upon the people. So we are called to be obedient. We are called to be faithful regardless of the outcome. And we look at the command in Psalm 82, God's command to defend the fatherless. Beginning in verse 1, God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the poor? Selah. That word Selah means stop and think about it. So what he's telling us to stop and think about is, first of all, judging among the people of authority, the people that are mighty, the people who are like gods. So you might look at, and we might actually look and think about, first of all, those politicians. Since the Supreme Court has turned this over to the states, and certainly we could look at the Supreme Court and said, well, they stopped short. They actually did not restore the human rights, the rights of the preborn children, as they should have. But when we look at really the states, we're talking about our Governor DeSantis, who claims to be pro-life, yet is not pushing for a bill to abolish abortion. After Dobbs' decision, he called for not one, but I think two different special sessions to address insurance, but did not call for a special session to restore the protection of innocent human life. We see the Speaker of the House and the Senate President, are they calling for a bill to protect and restore the human rights of every child, including those in the womb? Are we seeing, how about the leaders of these pro-life, pro-family organizations? Are they calling for the legislature to do their job to defend innocent human life? The Constitution of the state of Florida says that we have a God-given right to life, to not only life, but also to enjoy and defend life. And yet we don't see the leaders of many of the church denominations and these pro-life, pro-family organizations that have a reputation of being pro-life, have a reputation of seeking to protect every innocent human life, yet we don't actually see them working to do so. We don't see them pressing even on a legislative level to call for the protection of every innocent human life without exception. So God is standing up and he's calling for those who are in authority in our state to rise up and do what is right. And notice here that it does not say unless you don't have a majority or a supermajority of those who believe in what you're believing in. Unless you don't have, you can't get a poll that shows that you'll have 60% when you go to the ballot box. He says, how long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Let me tell you, when we stand up and our laws allow a wicked abortionist to rip a baby limb from limb with a suction machine to suck the baby piece by piece, just rip the baby to shreds. And you see even in some of the video of abortion, you actually can witness the preborn child swimming away as fast as she can from that suction machine. Yet the suction machine won and pulled her body and ripped her body limb from limb. Allowing the abortionist to use a to perform a DNC abortion where the abortionist actually cuts the limbs off of the baby and crushes the baby's skull and removes the baby from the mother, or where an abortionist prescribes a medication that now Walgreens and CVS are trying to make available in our state, and thankfully our governor has told them that he will prosecute them if they do, and we need to really encourage him to continue to fight this. But the abortionists are prescribing medication that will first of all cut off the hormones to the baby that are necessary for the baby to survive, and then will cause a violent delivery that, if the baby is still alive, will kill the baby, and the mothers will actually deliver a dead baby on their own toilet and see their own child, their own offspring, go into the toilet. This is what is happening in our country today. It's what's happening in our state today, and it is wicked, and we should not allow it. And when we allow, when we are showing partiality to the abortionists to allow them to continue to kill, God will judge. And God tells us, why are you judging unjustly? Listen, we are not going to be able to stand before God and say, because we didn't have 60% polling, we didn't have a poll that showed that we had 60% support to protect innocent human life. No, God stands up among those who have authority, among those who have a position of authority, whether that is in government or whether it is in the church, whether it is in a pro-life organization, and God calls for them to not show partiality, but to judge justly and to protect the innocent human life. And in verse 3, we read, defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hands of the wicked. And so we see here that we are to defend the poor and the fatherless. Now, let me tell you, many times the preborn children are like fatherless children. Certainly, they have a biological father. But very often that father is actually advocating for their murder. That father is actually, in many cases, pressuring, sometimes even at gunpoint, his girlfriend, or his may not even be his girlfriend anymore. He may not even be with her anymore, but many times is pressuring this child his girlfriend or his wife or his ex-girlfriend to actually have an abortionist rip limb from limb or to otherwise kill their baby. And so the fathers of these babies are actually advocating many times for the death of their preborn child. And by the way, there are some times where the fathers are fighting for the life of their babies, but many times the fathers are actually a part of the process of actually advocating for the death of their preborn children. And how about the poor? Could we consider the preborn poor? Well, the Bible says that a man will give anything for his life. And so when our life is at risk, all money doesn't matter. We actually are the poorest person is the person whose life is at risk, who has had his rights stripped away and is about to be brutally killed. And God tells us to do justice to the afflicted and needy. So the preborn child in the womb who is about to be ripped limb from limb, is she afflicted? Certainly she is. Is she needy? Certainly she is. And we are called to do justice. We are not called to take a poll. We are not called to see whether we have a supermajority. We are not called to stick our finger in the wind and see which way the wind is blowing. We are called to do justice. And what does justice mean in this case? It means to protect. It means to stop the shedding of innocent blood. And we are to do justice to the afflicted and needy. We are to deliver the poor and needy. So here you see very action words, action verbs to deliver those who are poor and needy. And which means, which, you know, by the way, it doesn't say unless you show, you see that there's a poll that shows that you can win. No, we are called to deliver the poor and needy, to free them from the hands of the wicked. So from the hands, we're actually supposed to free them from the hands of the abortionist who would rip them limb from limb, who would crush their skulls, who would kill them in the most brutal manner. We are to do justice. We are to deliver. We are to free them. Verse 5, they do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. So here you see people that are ignorant, and definitely there are people that are ignorant today in our culture. Certainly, you know, we could say, well, the abortionist knows that the preborn child is alive. The abortionist is seeing the body parts. The people that work in the abortion mills, if they have witnessed an abortion, in fact, that's one of the things that you see changes the hearts of some of the people that work in the abortion mill, the abortion industry, is when they actually witness an abortion. And this is something that when they actually witness an abortion and they actually see the baby being ripped limb from limb, they see the baby moving away or trying to get away from the instruments that are trying to harm the baby's life. They actually see and they know that this is happening and this is wrong. But there are women that are lied to, that are deceived, that believe that this is just a blob of tissue, as Planned Parenthood commonly says. But the preborn child in the womb is not a blob of tissue. And we are called to educate ourselves. We are called to defend and even to educate others and to defend the poor and the fatherless. And it says, do they not know, nor do they do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the world are unstable. Verse 6, I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. So we see here the admonition, you know, that even though people, those who are in authority, people look up to them. We look up to our governor. We look up to the Senate president. We look up to the Speaker of the House. We look up to these people that are in authority. We look up to the Florida Supreme Court. We look up to people who are leaders in the church, who are leaders of pro-life organizations. We look up to them and respect them. And to a certain extent, some people treat them like gods. But God says that they are all children of the Most High. Every one of us, no matter how powerful, no matter how much authority, no matter how much clout, every single person that walks on the face of the earth is subject to God. We are all created by God. We are under His authority. And all of us shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. So every one of us, there is no one that has ever lived. The mightiest rulers of this earth, those who ruled that had empires that ruled large portions of the world, every single one of them, except for those that are alive today, has died and was buried and went to meet their maker and give an answer for the life that they live. Every single one of us, no matter how much or how little authority we have, we are accountable to God. But especially when God has placed you in a position of authority, you have a responsibility to use that authority to do what God wants you to do. And that is not to stick your finger in the wind to see which way the wind is blowing. That is to establish justice. That is to establish equity. That is to deliver those who are oppressed, to deliver the poor and the needy, to free them from the hand of the wicked abortionist who wants to rip them limb from limb. In fact, we should be prosecuting and trying abortionists for murder and putting them to death upon their conviction, because they are committing mass murder. The average abortionist kills more in one day's worth of work than the most heinous of the mass murderers that we have faced in this nation. You know, we have shootings and people get upset over these shootings, and certainly it's right to get upset over the shootings. But we have an abortionist that actually can kill anywhere from maybe 5 to 15 to 25 to or even more preborn children in a day, and people don't even think about it. You're not going to see it on the news. You're not going to hear about it. If you don't pay attention, if you don't do some research, you won't even realize that it's happening. If you don't remind yourself, or someone else doesn't remind you, you won't even know that this is happening. But it is happening. It's happening in our own communities across this state. It's happening in other states of this union, and it's happening across the world as well. We need to stand up for what is right. We need to defend the poor and the needy, to free them from the hand of the wicked. We need to do justice to the afflicted and the needy, and defend the poor and the fatherless. And in verse 8, we read, "Arise, O God, judge the earth. You shall inherit all nations." And this is our prayer today, that God would rise up, that he would judge the earth. Now, that is actually something that can be pretty scary, because when God comes to judge, the Bible is very clear. We are responsible to protect innocent human life. We've read about this in the past. In order to cleanse the land, when innocent blood is shed, the land is polluted with that innocent blood. And there's only two ways that the Bible says that the land can be cleansed from that innocent blood that has polluted the land. One is through the prosecution and upon conviction of the guilty party who committed the murder, putting that person to death legally through the court system. The other way, when innocent blood was shed and no one knew what happened, the people needed to be able to pray, "God, one, our hands did not shed this blood." So in other words, we weren't a part of this. Those who have been involved in abortion, either as an abortionist or as a employee at the abortion mill, or someone who is walking a woman into the abortion mill, those who have gone in there cannot actually claim that they haven't been involved in it. The mothers and the fathers who have gone into an abortion mill and paid for an abortion for their own children, paid an abortionist to rip their own children limb from limb, cannot actually claim that they have not been a part of it. the grandparents of this child who very often are advocating for the murder of their preborn grandson or granddaughter cannot claim we did not know, you know, that cannot claim that they weren't a part of this. But they also had to be able to pray, God, we did not know that this was happening. And we cannot pray this because we know that abortion is happening. In fact, almost 80,000 preborn children were killed in the state of Florida in 2021. The numbers are not yet out for 2022. We anticipate those numbers are going up because women from surrounding states are coming to our state, to the state of Florida, to pay an abortionist. They're taking time off of work. They're taking time off of school. They're spending money to travel here. And when they're coming here, they're coming for one purpose, and that's to pay an abortionist to rip their babies limb from limb. And this needs to stop. We need to rise up. We need to stop the excuses. We need to work to protect every innocent human life. There is an amendment. In fact, there are two groups that were previously Personhood Florida, Protect Human Life Florida, were actually previously working on two different amendments. But we got together and we have agreed on language that adds the preborn to the Declaration of Rights in the Florida Constitution. And you can go to personhoodflorida.com. That's personhoodflorida.com. And you can actually print the petition, sign it, send it in to Protect Human Life. The address is on the petition. And again, you go to personhoodflorida.com, click Get Petition, download, print, and sign the petition, and mail it in. Let your friends know, let your family know, let your church, your pastor know, and encourage your pastor to collect petition signatures so that we can get this on the ballot, so that Florida voters have a chance to protect every innocent human life. Certainly, if we get on the ballot, we may not win, but definitely we will not win if we don't get on the ballot. So it's important to sign the petition, to stand up, to do your part to protect innocent human life. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it about time that we protect every human being in America, including the preborn? Go to personhoodflorida.com today to sign the Human Life Protection Amendment to establish liberty and justice for all. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
Upon his heart, a broken. of our transgressions upon him, upon him. Christ has died, we are forgiven in Christ alive. We are the risen and he shall